Chapter 12. "We are counting this as our road now?" Anakin asks, looking up and down it with an unimpressed expression. Mace contains a flicker of irritation, acknowledges it, and lets it go. It's accurate enough, after all. The road, he felt, is more of a footpath, paved with stone and overgrown. The trees loom on either side, and in the gloom between the flickers of lightning, Mace can't see more than a handful of meters. Somewhere ahead of them, the trail bends, but he can't tell whether it disappears or simply blends in with the trees. There's almost no visibility here. If something takes advantage of that, they'll have little warning. "It's enough of a road for me, sir," Five says, relieved, as he stomps mud off his boots. "The ground here is like aggressive soup." Mace glances at him. His plastoid armor is quite a bit less white now, at least from the knees down, and it makes tired humor surface from beneath the tension. "It's not maintained," he says, following the trooper, and the stones, even half covered in moss, are a relief after the sucking mud that's gotten deeper the further north they've gone. "Either we landed in an area that's no longer occupied, or the planet itself is abandoned." "What's the best-case scenario with a Sith planet?" Kix asks with a grimace. He looks up the road, squinting into the growing darkness, and doesn't seem happy about what he sees. "There isn't one," Mace says, dry, and steps aside to make room for Cody on the narrow path. "Whatever Sith Lord is working with the Separatists, maybe they came from this planet," Anakin says. "If we can find any information about them, we might be able to find them."
"Sith planets aren't the only potential origin points for Sith," Mace reminds him. "There's just as much chance he came from a peaceful world like Naboo as from the old Empire."
Anakin pulls a face, but before he can argue, Cody says, "East or west? Do we have an idea of where we're going?" "East," Anakin answers promptly.
"West," Mace says at the same moment.
There's a pause as they look at each other.
"A feeling?"
Mace asks, thoughtful. Anakin grimaces, pulling a handful of leaves out of his hair.
"It's the first thing that came to mind," he says with a shrug.
"It's not like it looks better in that direction. I just thought..." Mace folds his hands into the muddy sleeves of his robe, trying not to let the small irritations of the day distract him. There are too many to count, after all.
"The Force guides with instinct rather than a voice," he says after a moment. "Explore the feeling. What is it telling you?"
"To go east," Anakin mutters, but he closes his eyes. Mace waits, watching as he wrestles out the feeling behind the urge. And when he finally lifts his gaze, Mace raises a brow.
"I don't know," Anakin says with a shrug.
"West seems just as good as east, Master. Maybe it was just a thought. Obi-Wan's always telling me not to listen to every idea that crosses my mind."
Mace snorts quietly. "Obi-Wan is correct. If a Jedi is fully devoted to those they serve, with no ulterior motives, the Force will be one voice. Competing desires cloud it."
This time, Anakin's frown is closer to thoughtful than anything.
"I think we should go west, then," he says, and his smirk is tired.
"I really want a shower. Maybe that's throwing me off."
Amusement flickers, and Mace says, "A common desire at this point, and one no Jedi would fault you for."
He eyes him for a moment, then asks,
"You are sure?"
Anakin slants him a strange look, but shrugs. "Nothing's pulling me east. I'm just as happy to go west." There is something urging Mace west, just a faint tug, an itch beneath his skin that feels like following Depa into the jungle of Harun Kal. It's quiet, ignorable, but it's certainly there.
and Mace weighs it against Anakin's apparent desire to go the opposite direction. In the end, though, there's no saying which is the better choice. They have only the information they can directly see, with no hint beyond those competing urges. West, Mace allows, and Anakin nods, apparently unconcerned. Seeing that eases Mace's apprehension slightly, and he says, "We should look for somewhere protected to sleep as well."
"Full dark here is gonna be really dark,"
Kix agrees, and falls in behind Anakin as he passes, boots heavy on the trail. Clone armor isn't made for sneaking, and Mace feels a thread of apprehension, but he crushes it. They haven't seen anyone they needed to sneak past yet, and if they do, they can worry about the trooper's visibility then. Until that point, he'd rather they stayed armored. "Something out there?" Cody asks quietly, letting Fives pass before he and Mace follow. The trail is just wide enough for them to walk abreast, which means it's likely too narrow to have been a speeder path at any point. Mace might feel less unsettled if it had been. Paths for an unknown purpose through a dark, swampy jungle seem like they have every chance of hosting dark things at their end.
"I have no doubt," Mace says,
and doesn't sigh, even if it's tempting. Cody's crooked smile is just visible in the darkness.
"At least we're not fighting Grievous, too."
That is something to be grateful for. And Mace lets out an amused breath.
"I think this is technically our honeymoon," he says,
and Cody grimaces deeply.
"Truly, everything I ever wanted," he says.
Mace inclines his head in rueful agreement.
"Quite the vacation," he agrees, mild. "The mud baths are exceptional."
Cody laughs a little, shifting his blaster as they round an edge of trees. The path slopes, leading down into a valley, and between the stones of the path, the ground is quickly turning swampier, water pooling in puddles and small rivers beneath trees.
"Room service is a little lacking,"
Mace hums, reaching out on instinct just as Five steps on a stone that shifts sharply. With a yelp, he almost overbalances, but Mace gets a hand under his elbow before he can hit the ground, pulling him back upright.
"Careful," he says, and lets go.
"Thanks, sir." Fives casts him a curious look, then asks, why is the commander carrying your lightsaber?" Mace arches a brow at him.
"Because he found it in the wreckage, I assume," he returns.
"Oh," Cody says, mildly chagrined, and unclips the hilt from his belt. "Sorry, I forgot." Mace accepts it back, and he knew where it was, so he wasn't worried. But having the weight back in his grasp is a relief, in a way few things are.
"A well-trained habit after so long with Obi-Wan,"
he says dryly, and Cody sighs in aggrieved confirmation. Five snickers, but he gives the bright hilt another look. "It doesn't have a button on it." He's the first clone Mace has met who's been bold enough to comment directly. And Mace raises a brow, but says without hesitation,
"No, it doesn't. It means anyone who takes it can't use it, unless they're another Jedi."
Or a Sith now. But when he'd built it, Sith had been the problem of another age, not a real and immediate threat.
"You turn it on with the Force?"
Fives asks, and cranes his neck back to get a better look.
"But what if you can't use the Force? Isn't that a bad thing?"
Cody is frowning too, eyeing the hilt with a new level of dismay.
"That seems like a flaw in the design," he agrees. "If I can't touch the Force, I have more to worry about than my lightsaber,"
Mace says dryly, and doesn't mention the alternative way to turn it on that only he knows. Better for people to look at it and see a smooth casing without any chance of activating the blade themselves. Cody and Fives trade looks, but Fives just offers skeptically,
"If you say so, sir."
Pauses, then asks, "All Jedi make their own lightsabers, right?"
"Fives,"
Cody starts, but Mace raises a hand, letting Cody see that he doesn't mind.
We do. Sometimes the Force shows us a vision of the one we'll create, and we work toward that image for years. Sometimes in the building, the shape reveals itself.
Oh. Fives is frowning, but belatedly he looks up and says, Thank you, sir.
Mace inclines his head. A Jedi's existence is their lightsaber, he says. It's not simply a weapon.
That means General Kenobi keeps throwing his life away recklessly?
Cody mutters, looking pained. Mace glances at him, remembering some of the more colorful stories Pons has relayed to him over the course of the war.
Did he really charm a herd of Gutkers into a ravine?
Yeah, Cody says, looking like the memory alone is going to give him gray hairs. Without his lightsaber, so he couldn't have done anything if it hadn't worked.
Mace shakes his head. Obi-Wan is a wise man, but he's also incredibly dumb sometimes. It makes Mace think of Qui-Gon more often than not, even if Obi-Wan is more subtle about pretending to follow the rules than Qui-Gon ever was.
That whole lineage is overdramatic and restless, he says,
resigned to it at this point. Cody frowns a little. I know General Skywalker and General Kenobi, and I've heard about Kenobi's old master, he says. Who else?
Dooku,
Mace says dryly, and Fives and Cody both make identical pained sounds. It makes Mace snort.
Quite. Yoda before Dooku as well. He's mellowed in his old age.
Shaking his head, Cody glances forward at Anakin.
No wonder.
Mace agrees, though he doesn't say as much. Instead, he says to Fives,
May I ask what your patch means?
Fives blinks, glancing at the patch on the shoulder of his armor. It's for one of Domino Squad, he says, almost fierce. Heavy sacrificed himself to blow up Rishi Station, so the all-clear beacon could turn off. He liked rotary cannons, so... He shrugs, but presses a gloved fingertip to the image of the blaster. Cut up was there, too, and droid bait. That's what the stripes on the leg are for. Five members of Domino Squad, and now there's just me and Echo left. Mace can feel the edges of worn grief to him, the grim determination. A whole squad, and in one attack it was pared away to just two men.
We honor their sacrifice, he says quietly, and you honor it as well, by surviving.
Five slants him a grin, and it's on the edge of vicious, not aimed at Mace, but at the galaxy at large. Echo and I are going to make ARC Trooper. That's what we all wanted. I figure a few more fights to prove ourselves and we'll have it in the bag. Thoughtfully, Mace considers him, the weight of him unspooling out into the Force as it spins the future.
Yes, he says at length. I don't believe you'll have a problem, Fives.
Fives' glance is almost startled, but his smile curls into something friendlier. Thanks, General. Don't let that go to your head either, Trooper, Cody warns, bumping him in the back. The General's just being nice. Commander! Fives protests, ducking around Kix, who rolls his eyes. Don't worry about it, he tells Fives. The 212th is full of bullies. I could write you up for that, Cody threatens, but Mace can easily feel that he doesn't actually mean it. The General would stop you, Five retorts, and then pauses. Right, General? Mace raises a brow at Cody.
I'm afraid, he says gravely, that disagreeing with Commander Cody isn't good for my peace of mind. As much as I would like to help, my hands are tied. Metaphorically.
Ahead of them, Anakin makes a wounded noise and says, Master! Cody chuckles, though his eyes are on the Forest as they round another curve in the trail. Still nothing? He asks. No, Anakin calls back, sounding very glad to change the subject. I still can't see any lights either.
Animals, Mace answers more quietly. Some predatory, but I can't judge size from here.
I'm losing my fondness for animals every time we meet a new species that wants to eat us, Cody mutters.
They're simply trying to survive, Mace says, and clips his lightsaber to his belt. When he looks up again, Cody is watching him.
Didn't realize the Jedi went out to protect animal species, too, he says after a moment.
Unique life always matters, Mace says quietly. There are only 10,000 Jedi to serve the whole of the Republic, though. We can never do enough, but we do what we can.
At the very least, they finally managed to address the problem of using clone armies in a republic that supposedly banned slavery. Mace had agreed to it, but hated the fact, and while this isn't a perfect solution, it's the best they have, and it will do. Cody's expression twists for a moment.
The Jedi and the clones feel the same, to me, he says after.
But we're made to be replaceable, and you Jedi aren't. We lose one Jedi, and that's like losing half an army.
We take more time to train than clones, Mace allows, steady, even as something cold like fury curls in his gut.
He doesn't want to dismiss it, but breathes through it anyway.
Our contributions are the same in this war, however. One would not survive without the other.
Cody casts him a veiled look, but says nothing, turns his eyes ahead of him again, and asks,
Fives, who do you train with on Kamino?
Fives turns, surprised. Commander Colts and the Rancor Battalion at the end, he says, but mostly Brick and LS. General T oversaw everything, though.
Shock must be back on Kamino by now, Mace thinks, and curls his hands under the cover of his sleeves.
Aegon may even have reached her already, if he set out from Nar Shaddaa as soon as he got his orders. With any luck, she and Colt will be able to pry some new information out of the Kaminoans.
Shock is one of the best at hand-to-hand in the Order, he says. I'm sure she was thorough.
Five smirks. She tossed Brick around during a class once. It was great. I thought he was going to try to knife her for it.
Not that it would have helped him. Shock's Montrails make her acutely aware of even the smallest movements around her. And even with Vapad's speed, Mace has never been able to take her by surprise. I imagine that went well, he says dryly.
Brick's a bastard, so we all enjoyed it.
Five says breezily,
then winces. Sorry, sir.
Mace shakes his head. You are welcome to whatever opinion you like of him, Fives. I have no objection.
Brick's a bastard. Cody agrees more quietly.
I heard he sabotaged Domino Squad to make them fail their graduation test.
The irony is that if he had succeeded, the other three might be alive.
Mace doesn't say as much, just inclines his head. I believe Shock has mentioned she's had problems with him, he says, equally soft.
Cody snorts. I'm not surprised he'd have problems with the Jedi, given his disposition.
Jango Fett picked the trainers on Kamino himself, if Mace remembers correctly. Mandalorians, mostly, but also fellow bounty hunters. Still, with the clones no longer a secret project, they may be able to find someone willing to take Brick's place. Something to suggest a Shock, perhaps.
Mace takes a breath, about to ask whether Cody knows Colt, and then stops short at the first splatter of rain. Oh, cark it, Anakin says, half an instant before the heavens open like someone just dumped a vast, bottomless bucket over their heads. With a sigh, Mace pulls the hood of his cloak up, though the fabric is hardly waterproof enough to do much for long, especially with this level of rainfall.
Cover would be an excellent idea, he says dryly.
As if to agree, a long, deafening rumble of thunder sounds right above them.
Yeah, probably, Cody says, resigned, and pulls his helmet off his belt, sliding it back on.
Fives and Kicks do the same, and Anakin, whose cloak has apparently gone the same way as Obi-Wan's, futilely raises a hand to keep the rain off his face, looking deeply put out.
Under the trees? He asks, eyeing the sparse cover with new appreciation.
There's too much water here, Mace says, and nods at the small streams that are already swelling. We should get out of the valley in case it floods.
I'd even pick a desert planet over a swamp planet, Anakin says grimly, but he trudges forward, squinting against the rain.
Master Windu, do you see that?
Mace follows the jab of his finger, waiting for another flicker of lightning to illuminate the forest ahead of them. For a long moment, he can't make out anything, but a second and third flash, hard on the heels of the first, casts strange shadows where there shouldn't be. Odd shapes against the organic line of the trees. Something low, just the slope of a roof protruding over the edge of the canopy, but it's very definitely not a natural form.
Of course, there's no saying that it's something friendly. Mace nods grimly and says,
I do.
Anakin glances back at him, then steps aside as Mace makes his way to join him at the front, and it eases Mace's darkest thoughts to see that Anakin already has a hand on his lightsaber.
We should at least check it out, he says.
Mace inclines his head.
It seems like the best course of action.
He agrees, and heads up the hill, careful to keep to the stones of the path. There's water starting to flow between them, black in the dimness, and probably more mud than rain.
Glancing back over his shoulder, Mace checks that Cody, Kicks, and Fives are steady on the stone, then picks up his pace, not wanting to get caught in a mudslide or the sudden formation of a new river.
The downpour doesn't lighten any as they climb the far side of the valley, but the last of the light drains away when they're about halfway up. The darkness is so complete that the lightning hardly manages to lift it for more than a fraction of a second, and the shadows under the massive trees turn depthless and devouring. Further into the jungle, eerie, pale blue light kindles in scattered spots, glowing fungus squatting between the roots. But it's not enough to see the path by, and Mace doesn't want to risk approaching it to break off a piece.
Charming, Cody mutters from behind him.
And a moment later, the lights on his helmet come on, pooling in the murky gloom without spreading. A long, continuous growl of thunder overhead emphasizes his point, and Kicks makes a sound of agreement.
At least it's warm, he says. General Windu, General Skywalker, do you want the emergency blankets? They might help keep you dry.
We'll need them more later, Anakin says, waving a hand. Thanks, Kix. We'll survive. A particularly bright flash of lightning cuts across the sky, and Mace catches a flicker of movement out of the corner of his eye. Turns his head, scanning the trees, but can't spot anything. Unease settles, coiling around his chest, and he glances forward, judging the distance to the structure.
Sir? Fives asks, tense.
A little surprised, Mace glances back at him. Through the helmet, he can't make out Fives' expression, but he isn't watching Mace. Instead, his head is turned to watch the trees, right where Mace thought he saw movement.
I don't think we're quite alone out here, he says. Perhaps an animal has taken an interest in us.
Kix tightens his grip on his blaster, turning to scan the other side of the trail.
Sir?
Movement, maybe? Anakin says, glancing at Mace and then away towards a particularly oddly shaped patch of shadows.
but I can't hear anything over the thunder. Mace inclines his head in agreement, a stream of water pouring off his hood. I sense no minds around us, he says, but doesn't mean it as a reassurance. Somewhere in the jungle, a low, wavering cry rises, the first animal noise Mace has heard. It's not a promising one. Criff, Anakin mutters, and jerks his head towards the structure. Come on, even if it's bad cover, it's still cover. A ripple of lightning washes across the clouds, lighting them from one end of the horizon to the other for a brief minute. It's enough to augment the helmet lights, though, and in the momentary relief from the dark, Anakin practically trips over a narrow, paved path that turns into the jungle for a short ways, and then rises sharply. He makes for it immediately, ducking under the overhanging branches, and says, "This goes right up to the base of that thing. It looks like some kind of solid building, at least." Somehow, that doesn't make Mace feel any less apprehensive. But the only other option is bedding down in the forest, and right now, that seems worse. Grimly, he follows Anakin up the short path, one hand on his lightsaber. "Holding steady?" Cody mutters from behind him. Mace doesn't answer for a moment, attention caught by a bulky shape on the ground beyond their pool of light. Silently, he tips his head towards it, and Cody turns, lights catching on the edge of moss-covered stone. For a moment, it's almost impossible to make out a shape, but... "Is that a face?" Fives demands, recoiling. Another flicker of lightning breaks through the canopy, sparking disfiguring light across the shattered and overgrown stone features. And Mace breathes in, breathes out, and nods. "A statue," he says, and tries to fit the pieces together into a full image as the light vanishes. A hooded figure, head bowed, hands broken off, but at one point probably clasped around something. It's impossible to tell what it was meant to represent, but even so, that chill is winding tighter around Mace's spine. "Looks almost like the statues at the main entrance of the Coruscant Temple," Cody offers after a moment. Despite the even words, his blaster is slightly more raised than it was a moment ago, and his shoulders are tenser. "What are the odds that it's a Jedi temple you don't know about, General?" Kix asks, though he sounds resigned. "Greater than you might think," Mace allows. "The Jedi have existed for long enough that many temples have been abandoned and forgotten." He pauses, considering the vague shape of the statue, and then says, "Even if it resembles the Four Masters, it isn't anything close." "How do you know?" Kix asks, a frown in his voice.
"It's way creepier, for one," Fives mutters. "Can we keep moving?"
"Away from the statue and toward whatever it once guarded," Mace observes, mild, and Fives' groan is loud over the speakers. Mace snorts, and beside him, Cody makes a sound of amusement. "Anything, General?" He calls up the curve of the steep path, voice pitched so it won't carry far. "I think it's a temple," Anakin calls back, and Mace grimaces. He climbs the rest of the way up the incline even so, offering Kix with the heaviest pack, a hand up the last sheer section. Kix takes it gratefully, letting Mace pull him up, and Mace steps past him to reach Anakin, just as another sky-splitting wash of lightning rolls over them. It is a temple, with a shape Mace has seen in very old hollows and artistic reconstructions. Square on the bottom, supported by worn stone pillars, but a tall, narrow pyramid with rounded edges above, rising to match the tops of the trees. The roof is cut down the center, leaving two distinctive horns, and the whole structure juts out at an angle, looming over them.
On one side of the triangular doorway, an empty pedestal is covered in plants. And on the other side, the broken-off feet of a matching statue still stand, rounded with age. Lightning reflects off the edges of broken glass, one-time windows gaping emptily.
Someone forgot that temples are supposed to be welcoming, apparently,
Anakin mutters, and eyes the rusted, moss-covered metal of the door.
Master, what is this place?
A Sith temple, Mace says evenly,
and Anakin jerks, stepping back sharply. He flashes Mace an alarmed look, and Mace grimaces in agreement, but steps closer.
Long abandoned by the looks of it.
Aren't Sith temples usually full of booby traps?
Anakin demands, but he still edges under the overhang, apparently willing to take the break in the rain, even if it's courtesy of the Sith ruin.
Very.
Mace confirms, but he presses a hand to the door, trying to feel for the mechanism. He can break it, but that will almost definitely set off at least one trap.
You want to go in there?
Fives asks skeptically.
Did I miss something about the Sith? Evil, angry, tried to take over the galaxy a bunch of times, enslaved whole planets, fond of torture. Those Sith?
Underneath a thick covering of slime, a red light kindles. A gem set into the door starts to glow, and when Mace applies just a touch of the force, it brightens. A groaning, rumbling squeal of metal sounds, and the doors jerkily inch apart, then stall. It's enough of a gap to slip through, though, so Mace leaves them as they are.
Those Sith are the only ones I'm aware of,
he says, and his voice is the only dry thing about him at the moment.
It's here or out in the jungle right now, and at least this place is defensible.
Cody nods curtly. I'll take it, he says, but when he goes to step in, Mace holds out a hand to stop him.
I'm slightly faster than a clone, no matter how skilled, he says quietly. Allow me.
You're also our best hope of surviving this mud ball, Cody counters, stubborn. If a laser takes your head off.
Then, Mace says, dry, I certainly don't deserve to be Master of the Order.
Before Cody or Anakin can protest, he steps forward, through the gap, and casts a careful look around the interior of the temple. Dull red light emanates from a pool on the floor, molten stone casting a sharp, dry heat across the room. It's enough to see up the walls to a ceiling covered in dangling roots and vines, over cracked stone and determined greenery that's taken root. And Mace can't sense anything immediately hostile. He takes a few steps further, sweeping a glance over a crumbling altar, and then at the passage beyond it, half blocked by fallen blocks of stone. Water has pooled there, but otherwise the interior seems dry, uninhabited. There's nothing swinging for his head, either. So he says,
I believe we're safe.
Immediately Cody ducks in, Anakin right behind him. Anakin casts a look around and wrinkles his nose.
Creepy, he decides. That's what I've been saying, sir,
Five says, slipping in after him, with Kix right behind him. Pauses there, and then asks,
Is that lava?
The Sith, Mace says dryly, aren't known for their subtlety in decorating.
There's a lack of subtlety, and then there's a pretend volcano in the middle of your sitting room,
is Fives' opinion. Outside, a deafening crash of thunder practically makes the old temple shake, and Anakin huffs.
At least it's dry,
he says, and crosses to the pool, peering into it.
How is this safe?
Cody snorts.
I assume the Sith weren't overly concerned about that,
he says, and jerks his head at the collapsed corridor.
We want to scout that? I doubt we can get through. Mace says, and I don't like the idea of exploring it in the dark.
We can check it out in the morning, Anakin agrees, and frowns at the shrine.
That thing feels evil.
Mace doesn't bother pointing out that it is evil.
The dark side draws on suffering and pain and fear, he says. It leaves a mark on whatever it touches. That's likely what you're feeling.
Maul wasn't like this, Anakin says quietly. Dooku isn't either.
No, Mace agrees, grim. The difference between a Sith who believes there may only ever be two, and a whole empire of them using their power across entire systems.
There's a fraught silence, broken only by the growl of thunder. And then Cody sighs and pulls his helmet off. Beneath it, his expression is tired, and his hair is just long enough to look must.
Guess this proves we didn't make it out of the nebula, he says unhappily. I was hoping we were just being paranoid.
Mace doesn't say that if they really are on a Sith planet, this is going to be one of the safer, more peaceful moments. Judging by the look on Cody's face, he doesn't have to. Then, in the vines above them, something growls.
Freaking Pifka Poodoo,
Five says decisively, and Mace can't help but agree wholeheartedly.